What is up, guys, and welcome to an edition of the Market Marauder Show, being the market one trade at a time. Hope everyone's having a great week out there, able to lock in some profits. All right, so in this episode, we're going to be talking about the banking crisis. So you may have seen in the news, there have been a couple of regional banks that have collapsed, one being SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, and the other one in recent days being First Republic Bank. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about my opinion on the banking crisis. Are we in a banking crisis? What kind of stemmed a lot of these problems going on, as well as some things that other corporate entities are starting to do to counteract this potential continuing banking crisis. So let's jump into it. So first, I'm going to talk about SVB. So just kind of give a breakdown of what happened with Silicon Valley Bank. That happened quite a few weeks ago, probably around the April 28th time frame, if I'm not mistaken. So let's jump into what happened with SVB. The wholly anticipated banking report released Friday morning, the Federal Reserve said it failed to take sufficient action to prevent the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank while detailing serious management oversights by the lender's executives. The Fed, which is SVB's primary regulator, took responsibility for its own lapses, saying that supervisors did not fully appreciate the extent of the vulnerabilities as Silicon Valley Bank grew in size and complexity, and did not take sufficient steps to ensure SVB addresses its problems quickly. Silicon Valley Bank's collapse on March 10th followed 2 days later by the Signature Bank sent shockwaves through the global banking system. Regional banks have been hit especially hard, and investors are still bracing for pain 6 weeks later with the onset of First Republic Bank. Regulators' standards for SVB were too high, and the supervision of SVB did not work with sufficient force and urgency, and contagion from the firm's failure posted systemic consequences not contemplated by Federal Reserve's tailoring framework. And this is a statement from the Fed report. It recommends a sweeping reevaluation of the regulatory and supervisory functions. Following SVB's failure, we must strengthen the Federal Reserve supervision and regulation based on what we have learned. And this was a statement from Michael Barr, who is the Fed Vice Chair of Supervision. The review represents a first step in that process. And so it seems like, you know, they're kind of trying to make sure that this doesn't happen again for any banks in the future. Silicon Valley Bank's leadership failed to manage risks. So that's one item that happened that caused the failure. The Fed's own supervisors didn't fully appreciate SVB's vulnerabilities, and supervisors were too slow to act on problems. And then a 2019 shift in Fed policy impeded effective supervision, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, released a similar report on SVB, blaming its demise on poor management. So basically, it's kind of a combination of things. It's not just that the bank was mismanaged. It's kind of like, you know, different policies changed. Overall, it was kind of like a perfect storm of just a whole bunch of bad things happening that caused the bank to fail. So supervisory shortcomings. The Fed report adds greater detail to many SVB shortcomings that became apparent soon after the bank's collapse, including its highly concentrated business model that catered to tech and venture capital industries and lacks risk management practices, and its reliance on uninsured deposits. But the report is perhaps most notable for its recognition of the Fed's own institutional flaws. In the letter accompanying the report, Vice Chair Barr offers frank critique of his own agency. And then he wrote, we need to develop a culture that empowers supervisors to act in the face of uncertainty. He warned that the Fed must guard against complacency after more than a decade of banking stability that may have led bankers to be overconfident and supervisors to be accepting. The report notes that SVB's breakneck growth, it more than tripled in size from 2019 to 2021, far outpaced the abilities of its board of directors and senior management. And then also supervisors put in a place by the Fed, meanwhile, continued to assess the board of directors and senior management as effective despite clear signs that the governance and risk management were not matching the bank's growth. At the time of its failure, SVB had 31 unaddressed safe and soundness supervisory warnings, triple the average number of peer banks, according to the Fed. And then also, you know, on that, talking about rethinking deregulation. So SVB was growing rapidly. Its own executives and other bank leaders lobbied Congress to roll back regulations that would have increased scrutiny on banks a certain size. And then a 2010 law signed by President Barack Obama, widely known as the Dodd-Frank, created stricter regulations on banks with at least $50 billion in assets. Those banks were required to undergo an annual stress test to maintain certain levels of capital and liquidity, to be able to absorb losses and quickly meet cash obligations, among other things. The 2018 rollback got rid of the $50 billion threshold and made an enhanced regulation standard for banks within at least $250 billion in assets. So it kind of raised the bar to $250, which was at $50 billion, which kind of let a lot of other people in the door. So SVB, which was $211 billion in assets at the time, it collapsed, became exempt from those tougher regulations, a fact that renewed calls from lawmakers on the left to reinstate the 2010 regulations. The Fed's report doesn't directly blame SVB's collapse on the 2018 bill, but it notes that the policy changes had unintended negative consequences that led to some supervisors to drag their feet when reporting problems. So definitely kind of a double-edged sword. There were policy changes as well as, you know, some of the management of SVB just kind of turned a blind eye to some of the things. They had a lot of warning signs, so safe and sound supervisory warnings. Apparently 31 were unaddressed. And so with that threshold being moved from $50 billion to $250 billion, it kind of put them out of the eye of being reviewed. So there's a combination of things that were going on. SVB definitely was far-reaching. They touched a lot of different industries. And like I said earlier, they were a large component to a lot of the tech and venture capitalist industry. So a lot of startups got funded from SVB, as well as currently being funded by SVB. You had Roku, who had a large amount of their money in SVB. I think Meta had a lot of money in SVB as well. So there were a lot of different companies in the tech field that mainly got their start from SVB or had a venture capitalist firm like Y Combinator that got their money from SVB. So definitely, you know, something that's very interesting. I don't think the policy was made in order to, you know, turn a blind eye to it. Maybe it was kind of like a best case scenario sort of thing. During the 2010 time period, I know it was kind of a booming era for a lot of tech developments going on. So maybe that was why, you know, a lot of companies got built in that era from 2010, you know, down to 2018. So, you know, maybe that was why the policy was changed, but ultimately definitely an unfortunate situation for a lot of the consumers of SVB and the execs as well that lost their jobs from the bank's collapse. Next, we want to talk about the next one that's online, which is the First Republic Bank. So JP Morgan Chase is moving to acquire most of First Republic Bank's assets this week. Hasn't stemmed investors' concern about the financial prospects for another regional lender. The stock prices of Comercia, PacWest Bank Corp, Western Alliance Bank, and Zion Bank shares fell sharply on Tuesday as attention shifted to other financial players that could be at risk of starting bank runs and have taken down First Republic, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank in respective weeks. And so shares of the Los Angeles bank PacWest, with $44 billion in assets, plunged 28%, while $65 billion Western Alliance tumbled 15%. KBW Regional Bank Index fell 5.5% on the day and is down 28% on the year. The sell-off comes one day after J.P. Morgan won a government bid to take over most of the assets of First Republic, which was seized by bank regulators as part of the deal. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon said on Monday that the emergency deal would help stabilize the banking industry while warning that the turmoil affecting midsize and small lenders could continue. Investors aren't withdrawing from PacWest and Western Alliance for the same reason they ditched Silicon Valley Bank. And analysis at Vital Knowledge said, in March, customers pulled their money out because of concerns the bank could be on the hook for hefty losses. And that was done by a research article of polls that were done at the bank. And so for some investors, regional banks are becoming stodgy brick and mortar retailers focused on selling non-perishable commodities. Regional bank lenders say that they are becoming collateral damage to SVB's failure, but some banks showed signs of stress even before SVB's collapse. PacWest, which is another one of the banks, saw its deposit fall by $5.7 billion between January and March. The CFO, Kevin Thompson, said the earnings call last week. Western Alliance, which has also posted earnings last week, reported a $3.3 billion in deposit outflows. So meaning people are starting to take a lot of money out of the bank. About $3.3 million has been coming out of the bank. Despite recent bank failures, officials from the U.S. Treasury Department, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, and the Biden administration have repeatedly expressed confidence in stability of the broader banking system. Yet investors have increasingly shunned banks like SVB have large amounts of uninsured deposits, accounts holding more than the FDIC $250,000 deposit insurance limit. Some banks have also been wrong-footed by rising interest rates, which have raised their costs at the same time that depositors have withdrawn funds in search of higher returns on investment. First Republic Bank was teetering for weeks before it was seized early Monday by regulators, who then accepted a bid from banking giant JPMorgan Chase to acquire almost all of its assets. The move is leading to a host of questions about what will happen next, such as the sales impact of on depositors and shareholders. So basically, you know, people own stocks of this bank or of these multiple banks. And with it having all the assets, they're kind of wondering, do those can get converted over to JP Morgan? Does my account, if you have an account with these banks, does it get converted over to JP Morgan? How does that, you know, work as far as the bank industry is concerned? So, you know, the question, big question is, why did FRB or Federal or First Republic Bank collapse? The California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation took over First Republic early Monday because regulator had determined that the bank was conducting its business in an unsound manner. The California regulator then appointed the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, as banking receiver. The collapse follows the March seizure by regulators of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, both of which had experienced bank runs. Like Silicon Valley Bank, a significant share of First Republic's deposits were uninsured because they exceeded the $250,000 insurance protection that is offered by the FDIC. Such banks are more vulnerable to bank runs because nervous depositors are prone to withdrawing their assets at the first sign of trouble. Regulators assumed control of First Republic 1 week after the bank's executives revealed that customers had withdrawn more than $100 billion during the panic last month. And so, ultimate question is, why are banks failing? Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and First Republic failed partly due to their unusual reliance on wealthy individuals and companies, including unprofitable startups, combined with Federal Reserve's series of interest rate hikes. Those higher rates have made it more expensive for startups and other businesses to borrow money, which meant which many of them were burning through their cash deposits and withdrawing money at faster rates. When Silicon Valley Bank sought to shore up its balance sheet by selling bonds at a loss, it spooked depositors and then withdrew even more funds. Depositors other banks soon followed, leading to a large number of withdrawals and more mid-sized banks, and they were forced to borrow from federal programs to shore up their balance sheets. None were hit as hard as First Republic, however. And so, you know, the question is, did big banks already pour money into First Republic? The answer basically is yes. A group of large banks provided $30 billion in funding in mid-March to help stabilize First Republic in the aftermath of the Silicon Valley Bank failure. To turn itself around, the bank planned to sell off unprofitable assets, including low-interest mortgages that it proved to wealthy that it provided to wealthy clients. It also announced plans to lay off up to a quarter of its workforce, which totaled about 7,200 employees in late 2022. And investors were skeptical, and a recent devastating quarterly report sent them running for the exits. First Republic shares fell 75% last week and closed Friday at $3.51. So definitely very interesting for First Republic Bank, you know, overall. And so who bought First Republic Bank? JPMorgan Chase, one of the banks contributed part of the $30 billion in March, has bought a bulk of the bank's operations and assets from the FDIC. The banking giant is acquiring $92 billion in insured and uninsured deposits that will assume $173 billion in loans, as well as $30 billion in securities, according to a money note from Benjamin Salisbury of Hyatt Securities. The FDIC and JP Morgan will share losses on the acquired single-family residential mortgage loans and commercial loans. And so how much did JP Morgan pay for First Republic Bank? JP Morgan is paying the FDIC about $10 billion for the First Republic, for First Republic Bank, according to some calculations that were done in the research note. And as part of the deal, JP Morgan will absorb about $185 billion of First Republic's assets, as noted. JP Morgan is now the largest depository institution in the U.S., holding 16.7% of the 17.1 trillion deposits. So that's a large chunk of deposits. So what happened to the shareholders of the stock of First Republic? They're most likely going to be wiped out. The stock has stopped trading as of Monday, and shareholders won't receive stock in JP Morgan, according to JP Morgan spokesman. The New York Stock Exchange said on Tuesday that it is delisting First Republic shares. The FDIC's insurance funding has priority claim on the bank's assets, which must be fully reimbursed before the next class of creditors, general trade creditors, can be reimbursed, according to FDIC. The FDIC estimated that the cost of deposit insurance fund at about $13 billion. And so definitely an unfortunate situation, you know, for First Republic Bank. They had about $229 billion worth of assets. It was the second biggest bank collapse in U.S. history after 2008 failure of Washington Mutual, which had roughly about $307 billion in assets, and was also sold to J.P. Morgan after its collapse in 2008. So definitely a very interesting situation overall for First Republic Bank, and definitely going to be keeping my eyes out on JP Morgan as it is going to be collecting all of these assets. So drop a comment down below. Tell me what you think about the First Republic Bank closure. What do you think it's, you know, going to do? How is it going to perform after this? Do you see any other potential banks closing in the near future? Also, you know, other corporations are starting to do things to counteract this. Recently, Apple has announced their new high-yield savings account, which is offering 4.15% APY. I think it's very interesting that Apple is kind of trying to act as a bank, especially considering so many banks are failing. I don't think there's anything that Apple can't really do, I guess, at this point. Having a 4.15% is definitely higher than a lot of banks, but it's going to be interesting to see if other companies or corporations start to get into the banking industry, considering that a lot of banks are starting to fail. So drop a comment down below. Tell me what you guys think about the bank collapse, the banking crisis. Do you think there will be a bank run? Do you think crypto is the way to go now that a lot of banks are closing or starting to be sold off? Is SVB and First Republic a kind of indicator for now we're switching over to crypto? Let me know in the comment section, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.